With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
I mean, I'm not going to say it, but I will be the first to say it. The Browns are 5-2 since me and Joe started this podcast. Hey, I don't care who the wins are against. I don't care what the score is. The Browns are 5-2.
5-2. Hi,
Joe.
Oh, yeah. Well, crazy game today. That was our game this year that I thought we were going to lose, and hey, we pulled it out. Great win. Baker had his best half of the season. There's no doubt about it. He was on fire. What, 21 passes in a row, and just amazing comeback. And yeah, excited to talk about it.
So I know next week's Halloween, but when are we going to discuss who was wearing the Baker Mayfield jersey in this first quarter? It clearly wasn't Baker Mayfield.
Wow, this is like a game of what, three quarters and one quarter, man. He was high. He looked nervous in the pocket. It was pretty much the Pittsburgh game all over again in the first quarter. And then something about the second quarter, he was playing a little bit better. And then the second half, he just turned it on, and we saw 2018 Baker. Confident, throwing downfield. I love it.
All right, first, I'm going to correct Joe. We talked last week. I don't know what Pittsburgh game you're talking about.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we don't. All right. We haven't lost yet this year.
Yeah, exactly. I have no idea. That's way out of there. No, but seriously, I don't know if it was like a play calling, but Baker and I, okay, I'll be the first to say it. We were talking and waiting for an extra slack. I was hating on Rashard Higgins all week, and Baker and him have some sort of special connection. I don't know if it's like, I don't know, but Baker was a completely different quarterback when Higgins was in the game.
Right. Yeah. Once he's on the field, once Higgins gets on the field, he makes plays. It's just him getting on the field and getting the opportunities. It's wild. I don't know what he and Baker have together, but it's working, man. And he was huge. He came up that huge catches late in the game, and he was part of the why they won that game.
And it wasn't even just him. It just seemed like Baker was so much more confident. Even if Higgins is on the field and not getting catches or not making plays or anything, just seemed like Baker was more confident still.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was, I mean, even to start the second half with the Browns down, Stefanski did a play action. I think it was like a 20, 25-yard pass, and I forget who it was. It might have been, I don't know.
Yeah, first play of the half, I think it was Jarvis, or it was either Jarvis or Bryant, but yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it was a great, great start to the half to get him rolling.
Yeah, got him rolling, got him confident, got him in rhythm. I mean, we've all known that. I mean, the analytics show that Baker is best in play action and when he's rolling out of the pocket. And to do that first play, second half, it was clear that Baker just – he continued the rhythm that he was in the second quarter.
Yeah, it's all about rhythm and confidence with him, man. It's amazing. I tweeted out earlier, confident Baker is the best Baker, man. He's just a different player when he's firing the ball, doesn't worry about who's around him or who he's going to throw to. He just slings it he looked confident. He knew where he was going to throw it all in the second half. And it was just great to see Baker return to that form again.
A confident and good Baker is awesome to watch and fun to watch.
It is.
But a bad Baker makes me want to gouge my eyes out.
I know. It's crazy. Jekyll and Hyde, man. It is crazy.
And there's really not any in between, let's be honest.
No, we saw both of them today. We saw that first quarter was just one of the worst quarters I've ever seen. He was high on every throw. He was 0-for-5. So, yeah, it was just not good. And Then he just turned it on and became confident Baker, and let's see if we can keep that confident Baker going.
Baker started off 0-for-5 and ended the game 22-of-28, 297 yards, 5 touchdowns. I don't even know what to say. That's crazy. That's crazy. Craziness.
Yeah. This is going, like, if we go back to his whole career so far, I don't know if I've seen a better half of football or better game from Baker. He was just he didn't miss. His only incompletion after the 0-5 was the spike. So how can you?
Yeah, seriously.
It's crazy how good he was. And it wasn't like he was just dinking and dunking. Look at all those big-time throws at the end of the game to win on that drive. Just a dime right into Peoples-Jones' arms right in the end zone. It was just perfect placement. The touchdown and Njoku was fired perfectly where only he could get it. It was amazing to see him just be confident, slinging it around to all levels of the field. And let's hope that can continue.
It's clear that a confident Baker plays so much more, like so much different, so much better. I mean, we won't talk about last year, but it was clear that Freddie kind of ruined him. But Stefanski seems to be calling plays for him that makes Baker be confident in himself and makes Baker be confident in his offensive line to stay in the pocket, even if he has still has some issues with that. But Baker Mayfield being confident is a game changer.
Game changer, yeah. And give credit to Stefanski. I think he made some changes during the halftime, and the offense just moved perfectly in the second half. I think he figured out just get Baker early on in the second half. They gave Baker some short throws quick passes, and then I think that just got him into a good rhythm, and that just carried over to then him just exposing the whole field and just being a great quarterback like he did today.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's the Bengals, but the offense was clicking today. Well, besides the first quarter, the offense was clicking today.
Right, yeah. It doesn't matter who you play. If you score 30-plus points in the NFL, your offense is rolling, and your quarterback's doing well.
Yeah, and let's be honest, the Browns are going to have to score probably 30 to 35-plus points a game if they want to win football games this year.
Yeah, let's get to that defense. That defense.
No, we'll stay on the offense just for a quick second because we do have to talk about the first quarter.
We'll talk about that later.
Odell Beckham Jr. I know, I forget who tweeted it recently. They're fearing that it's a major knee injury. I'm assuming a torn ACL. I don't really know what else a major knee injury could be. I feared that too. Right when they said that he was questionable to return, and that was like immediately, and then like 10, 15 minutes later after he got x-rays, they said he was out. I was like, oh no, this isn't good.
Yeah, that's not good. Yeah, that was a huge moment in the game, and it sucks that I think it was NFL Network. Two of the reporters said it was a serious knee injury, and then another one said that the players could see him in the locker room, not not taking it well, that he was that it was probably something serious. So yeah, this is another big injury for the Browns, and this one is probably going to be the biggest of the year if he's out for the year.
The Browns just can't get best these injuries, man.
It's crazy. I know, it's just piling up, man. It's just one after another. You'd think, okay, after this bye week, we might get everyone back, and then now you get this injury, and yeah, this is a major blow to the offense. But Stefanski will probably say, you got to pick up
next man up.
Next man up.
Next man up. Yeah. All right. So I know we already talked about Rashard Higgins a little bit, and I'm gonna get hated on Ford and waiting for next year's Slack all week. Yeah, I mean, if you would have told me that Rashard Higgins, Harrison Bryant, and Donovan Peoples-Jones would have led us in receiving yards, I probably would have thought that we lost to the Bengals, to be honest.
Yeah, how this rookie class is really shaping up to be one of the best ones we've had in a while. Harrison Bryant was really good. He made some big catches all across the field, running after the catch in a couple of them. And then Peoples Jones made the biggest catch of the year for the Browns. And that was just great to see. And now those two are going to definitely be seeing more attention now if Beckham is lost for a significant time or the rest of the year. So those guys have to step up, and they already did today. So great start for those young guys.
Yeah, I don't know if it really changes anything, but I just thought of this as you were talking. I wonder if OBJ's injury changes anything with David Njoku and his playing time. Like, will the Browns use two and three tight ends a lot more since they're without OBJ? Well, most likely without OBJ. I don't really say want to be 100% now. But if they're without OBJ, will the Browns use two and three tight ends, which means they're rotating them a lot more? Because, I mean, Hooper's shown, I mean, he's the highest paid tight end in the league for a reason. Bryant showed today that he's really good already as a rookie. And Njoku, I mean, he has that freak athleticism. He hasn't really played up to his potential in his career. But, I mean, today he had a touchdown. He's a matchup guy. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets more playing time now if OBJ is, in fact, out for the year.
Yeah, I think you're right on the spot there. I think they definitely try to use the three tight ends more. They've already have, but... Yeah, I think Njoku will probably be used out wide more, and Bryant will be used out wide more in certain packages. So I'll definitely think Njoku will get more opportunities going forward, even when Hooper comes back, because I think I don't think they want to just rely on Peoples Jones for the rest of the year. Because he still is a rookie, even though he had this great second half and fourth quarter. You want to spread out the wealth to not put too much pressure on him. But yeah, it's going to be, they're going to be, I think, more towards what Stefanski is used to. More tight end sets, not relying on the receiver as much as the tight end and running backs.
And along with more tight end sets, I wouldn't be surprised if when Nick Chubb returns, if Kareem Hunt lines up in the slot some now too.
Exactly. Just to get
different faces out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. He's, as you've seen today and throughout his career, he's one of the better receivers. He could be one of the better receivers in the league if he wanted to. So yeah, it'll definitely be utilized out there too.
It'll be interesting to see what Stefanski and the offensive staff does if OBJ is in fact out. Yeah, I hope he's not, but with those guys saying that it's a major knee injury, I mean, one can only assume that it's a torn ACL, unfortunately.
Yeah, never good when those guys report that this quickly after the game.
Yeah. All right, so we have to talk about it, the dreaded defensive side of the ball.
Ooh, boy.
Anyone not named Myles Garrett or Denzel Ward did not play
awful. Well. Yeah, we're just awful. There's nothing went well. The coaching was bad. They never changed up what they did the whole game. And then the players just couldn't tackle. They couldn't cover anybody. And there wasn't any pressure on the quarterback. It was just easy pickings for Joe Burrow. Yeah, that was their worst performance of the year by far, I think. They just did not. They couldn't stop them. If they didn't get lucky with like a turnover in the early in the first half, they just had no chance stopping them. I think they got lucky actually that the Bengals scored early in the last drive, because if they didn't score right away, they probably would have just ran the clock out and scored eventually, because the defense was they weren't close to stopping them.
Yeah, I thought, the Browns scored too early and gave the Cincinnati Bengals too much time, and then Bengals come back and score too early for the Browns. I'm like, ooh.
Right. I know. It was crazy. Like, it's just, yeah, that defense, something's got to change. They got to make a move, or our coaching game plan. I'm not going to say fire the coach, obviously. This is a sick game.
I think it's the personnel more than it's the coaching, to be honest.
I think so too. I think they're hamstrung on a lot of what they can do, but they gotta change something up. Whether it be alignment of who's playing, whether it's how they approach the defense, something's gotta change because it's not working. They're giving up 400 yards to a rookie quarterback, and it's just they weren't doing anything. Their whole game plan is hope that there's a pass rush and there's pressure, and that's not going to work. You can't get pressure on every down. Miles is great, but he's not someone who can just get on every single pass rush because you can game plan for that and add three guys over on that side. So they gotta get a defensive position where it's not on Miles' shoulder to do everything or Denzel's shoulder to do everything for this defense.
Even if the defensive line had 4 or 5 Miles Garrett on it, you could still game plan against him just like the Bengals did today. You literally just – Burrow catches the ball and within 2 seconds it's out. I mean, no one's going to get to the quarterback in 1.5 seconds unless he's just totally unblocked, and even then it's still tough.
Right. It's the same game plan every single week, and it's beating them every single week. Quick passes, getting them all out, and just taking advantage of the terrible gaps in the zone, and then just terrible man-on-man coverage that the Browns have done over the course of the season so far.
You didn't even have to say anything that's terrible. You could have just said terrible. And then if the Browns use extra coverage in the back end like they did late in the fourth quarter, Burrow's smart enough as a quarterback, even if he's a rookie, just quarterback draw right at the middle.
You saw that coming right from the snap. Like, he didn't even like hesitate to fake a pass. He knew exactly where he was going straight, and the middle of the field was just wide open. And you can't have that on third and 11 or something like that. You just can't allow that to happen. Where it was just that simple. Burrow just ran right up the middle, and there was just no resistance at all.
I have a conspiracy theory. What if the Browns defense is playing chess and they let him get that to score a touchdown earlier?
Yeah, that's all. That was what they were doing, right?
Wow, the Browns defense out here playing chess and we're just all playing checkers.
That fourth down play, they might have actually done that.
That was a great play.
Right.
You talking about the fourth and goal? That was their fourth and one. Great play call. There's no way Sendejo's. Hindsight's 2020, but I don't get why Sendejo, he like started off jogging with Bernard, and then he like sprinted, and right when he started sprinting, Bernard took off to the other side, and it was boom, game over. Yeah. Well, not game over, but you know what I mean. It was a touchdown.
The defense just could not do anything right today, besides Miles and Denzel.
Today. What do you mean just today?
Yeah. That's true. But at least they got turnovers like consistently throughout the game, and they got at least one stop, which they didn't do after the first quarter.
The thing I have a problem with is that the entire group of linebackers is clearly the biggest hole in the defense all offseason. Mm-hmm. And the Browns did nothing to help. I mean, I don't want to compare the Browns to the Indians, but the Indians' outfield has been the biggest hole in the offseason for years, and they do nothing to help. And the Browns did nothing to help their linebacking unit. I mean, what do they expect this year? You know what I mean?
Right. That is true. That is definitely true. I do have to say that they did add some rookies. Obviously, that's not going to help you right away. They didn't really take a full advantage of the offseason to make a big addition there, which I think Barry will definitely see after the season that you can't let this position go on any further without any key additions. But it just giving him Barry a reprieve here. You can't do everything in one off season. So sometimes you gotta take steps to improve it. So hopefully, maybe this year we'll see a trade or something. But definitely in the off season, they need to improve this defense and especially the back seven.
Yeah, with the salary cap space that they have and the draft picks, I wouldn't be surprised if like their first five or six draft picks are all on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, they clearly need stuff on offense, but I would not be surprised if all those picks early on are on the defense. I mean, besides Denzel Ward and Miles Garrett, I guess you can say Grant Delpit, when he's healthy next year, will probably be the starting safety. Greedy Williams, when he's healthy, he'll probably be CB2. But every other position probably needs upgraded.
Yeah. I think the defensive line is pretty set, except for maybe the edge rusher. We'll see if what Vernon does. He wasn't very good this today either. So we'll see. They probably have to upgrade that position on the edge on the opposite side of Miles. But the back seven, you got your corners. I think you have your stud corner in Denzel, and then we'll see with what we have in Greedy. But yeah, the linebacker and safeties are going to be a major point of what they're going to look at this offseason. I think losing Delpit, I think that was just an underrated loss this offseason. I think they really planned on him being one of their key guys back there, and because he can do a lot of things for your defense. He can cover. He can come up and play the run game. So I think they really planned on. I know it's weird to say this about a rookie, but I think they really planned a big role for him, and losing him kind of put a wrench in that thing.
Yeah. All right. I had to get us back on track, even though I started that conversation. The Browns are 5-2, and we're talking about the offseason already.
Right.
We're talking about the offseason. This is like years past. We need to. All right. So, on to more important things. The Browns are 5-2. They're still behind the Ravens and Steelers, who both the Steelers won today. I don't think the Ravens played yet, or are they on a bye?
They haven't played yet. I don't know if they're bye or not, but yeah, they haven't played yet.
It's clear that the Browns are behind the Ravens and Steelers, both in the standings and just with their matchups that we will not talk about this season.
Peak Cleveland right there, by the way. Our best year ever. Best year since 99, and we have the two best teams in our division.
Yeah. Peak Cleveland. To have the best year since 99, and the Steelers and Ravens are two of the best teams in the NFL, and they're both in the AFC North.
Yep. Crazy.
Crazy. But, all right, so I'll ask the question. Are the Browns a playoff team?
I think so. They take care of business against the teams that – I know it was close today, but they took care of business against the teams that they're better than. And if you consistently do that, you're going to make the playoffs, especially with, what, seven teams in there now? So that extra wild card is definitely a huge thing for this team, and I think they are a wild card team. We'll see how they do in the playoffs, but we'll see. But I think this team has the talent to be a playoff team, and they're well on their way, and the schedule is definitely shaping up for them to be that.
Yeah, I know we can say, well, they beat the Bengals twice, blah, blah, blah. But the Browns used to be the Bengals. They used to be, well, right. You only beat the Browns twice. Who else did you beat?
Right.
So, and they're not a great team yet, but if you're beating the bad teams or the teams that you should be, then you're at least average or above average or good. And with 14 NFL teams making the playoffs, all you have to be is good. You don't have to be great, just good. No.
Right, and I wrote last week, I felt like we kept moving the posts on them. Like, making the playoffs is a huge step for this team. Like, I know we're not going to be
– Super Bowl or nothing, Joe. Right. Super Bowl or nothing.
Like, people were like, oh, we can't hang with the elite teams. Well, we couldn't do anything prior to that. we were winning, what, three games, five games, like – It's crazy that people just keep moving the posts on them. If you make the playoffs, that's a huge step for this team. And if we get more of what Baker showed today, then we have a playoff team and a quarterback of the future. When's the last time we can say that?
When was the last time we said those words? We didn't even say them last week.
Seriously.
We were talking about quarterback of the future, like, all right, who is it for the Browns? Are the Browns going to trade up to draft Trevor Lawrence or Justin Fields? Or
Right.
So now that we're talking about Baker Mayfield, for the first six games of the year, we said Baker's doing just enough. He's basically being like a game manager where he's doing just enough for the Browns to win, but he's not making plays to help the Browns win.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Today, he made plays to help the Browns win.
Exactly.
And that was huge.
That was huge. It's another development step for this team. We were talking about it throughout the first 6 weeks that this team has won because of the run game, making plays, but we haven't seen Baker step up and win a game by himself. And he did today. He stepped up and he was amazing today, and they needed him because the defense wasn't stopping anybody. The run game can only do so much when the defense is giving up so much. And Baker stepped up when they needed to, and he was perfect. He was perfect.
I would love to know. Yeah, he was almost perfect in the second through fourth quarter. I would love to know what was said. Either Baker told Stefanski or Stefanski told Baker at the end of the first quarter. There had to be something.
I know. Stefanski said after the game that he didn't say anything, but something's got to be like he was.
I hope Baker was mic'd up.
I know.
I hope Baker was mic'd up.
He was just a different quarterback in the last three quarters, pretty much, and it was 2018 and Oklahoma Baker again.
Yeah.
And that's what we expected.
Like, that's not just like, hey, we're calling better plays for Baker. He was overthrowing guys. He was missing guys. He was bad. Right. He was bad in the first quarter. And something, I mean, I would love to know. I hope someone asked him today. I didn't watch the post-game press conference. I hope someone asked him today what happened.
Yeah.
First quarter that changed.
It just clicked for him, man. It was great to see. And hopefully that just carries over to the next game and then carries into the bye after that.
Man, it's weird. The Browns it's crazy that the Browns are almost half, or the NFL is almost halfway through the season already. This season's flying by.
I know. It's
is this what happens when you have winning football?
Right. Because
when you go 0-16, it feels like the season's like 16 months, not 16 weeks.
That is so true. I was just going to say that. Like, not winning a game just seems like it's like 10 months of a season. And now
no wonder this fall season's flying by.
And we're already a month and a half in, and it just seems like we flew by.
Crazy. All right, so we do this every week. The schedule game. Browns are 5-2. 5-2. I said last week that this next five game stretch, if they go 4-1, they can be a legitimate playoff team. Well, they start off 1-0. Now they have the Raiders. Raiders are pretty good. They just beat the Chiefs a couple weeks ago, but they're not that good. So the Raiders at home, Texans at home, Eagles at home, at the Jaguars. They should be favored in all four of those games.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see with the Raiders. I think they're pretty good too, but definitely with the home field advantage and all that, I think the Browns will be close to favored in that game. But, yeah, it's going to be exciting to see.
Oh, go on. It's not only that they're favored or that they're home, but it's also the Raiders traveling from the West Coast to the East Coast and playing at 1:00.
Yeah, that is a huge thing that not a lot of people talk about with those West Coast teams. Traveling all the way over from the West Coast is a struggle. It's tough because the Browns have made that go in the opposite way, and that's tough for them too.
I mean, it's easier since you're going back 3 hours, but essentially I was just to say the Oakland Raiders. Whew. The Las Vegas Raiders are playing a 10 a.m. game their time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's human nature. That's to be tough. Everyone's human. I don't care if they're professional athletes or not. That's tough.
And especially with the COVID and all that, I don't think they'll be traveling as early as they normally probably would. So it's going to even mess up with their clocks and all that, and their how they just deal with it a lot. So it could be a huge advantage for the Browns.
Are you telling me that the Browns are catching a break? That's not going on. Browns are catching breaks. Unbelievable.
Catching breaks, winning games.
All right. Yeah, but we won't talk about that. The last five games are Titans, Ravens, the two New York teams, easy, Steelers. So if you don't talk about those last five games, but to get through the next four games, if they can go 3-1 the next four and then be 8-3.
That's what 8-3 with two of the worst teams still on your schedule in both New York teams.
8-3. And keep in mind, the over-under in Vegas was, I think, the Browns at 9, and they'd be 8-3.
Yeah, crazy.
And, okay, so before we end this, too, I meant to ask you earlier, the trade deadline coming up, not this week, but I think the following week, I feel like we have to talk for the first time in a long time, the Browns are buyers. I guess if there are buyers at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
NFL. Maybe we'll get on the podcast either this week or start next week and talk who can the Browns acquire, who would they trade, stuff like that. Because it's clear that they need some upgrades if they want to be a legitimate playoff team.
I think this game definitely was a game changer in terms of the trade market too. I think Barry saw what the heck this defense did today and saw if they want to do anything, this defense needs an upgrade.
I know if Joe Church by upgrade, he just means someone that can tackle and someone that can pass coverage. That's it. That's
enough. Right. I tweeted earlier, like, they can't cover and they can't tackle, which is never a great sign for your defense. So if they can find anybody that can do that, that would be an upgrade. So it doesn't have to be a huge piece, but anybody that can just help this defense, that would be a big addition for him. And I think Barry will actually be aggressive because they have quite a few draft picks this year. And I don't think they want, going forward, once the team builds and all that, I don't think they want as many rookies in here as because I think they have eight or nine draft picks, which I don't think they want that many rookies in next year. So I think they can be aggressive and use some of that draft capital to pull off some trades. And we know in NFL trades, the draft capital doesn't take as much to get some top guys. So I think they can be aggressive, and I think they will be aggressive.
It's just crazy that we're talking about the playoffs and the Browns being aggressive at the trade deadline. I'm not used to it.
Right. I know. Especially after last week.
Yeah. I don't know what happened last week.
I know. Yeah, I know. We're 5-0, right? We're 5-0. Yep.
Man, we are talking – I'm going to repeat myself. We're still talking playoff football and the Browns being buyers at the trade deadline. And Baker Mayfield playing well. And, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Good to be a Browns fan today.
It's good to be a Browns fan. Yeah, today. Hopefully next week too. But yeah, so Joe and I will hopefully maybe midweek or the start of next week, we'll talk, get on the podcast again, talk trades, talk Browns, hopefully being able to acquire a player or two that knows how to tackle and defend the pass on defense. Yeah, I mean, like we said, that's an upgrade. If you know how to do that, you're in.
And you never know, because given the injury to Odell, receiver might be on the list too now. Not like a top tier one, but just for depth reasons, because I think they're playing with three now. So they could definitely be a position to look towards too.
I don't know. Dave Sterling might say that Rashard Higgins is like a top five wide receiver in the league now.
I haven't checked Slack lately. I wonder if he has yet.
Hey, Dave, when you listen to this, by the way, please include me in Friday's fumble and just make fun of me, okay? Please. Rashard Higgins is good, but he's not that good, okay? But seriously, Rashard Higgins looked really good today, and with him in the game, Baker Mayfield looked really good today. So, hey, he might not be that good, but it's that connection. It's that special connection.
Right. Yeah.
All right. So hopefully the Browns get a little bit healthier before next week. I don't know if Hooper will be out again. I don't know how serious that is.
Yeah, they said
OBJ might be out.
Yeah, they said it's about a game or two. So I would assume they'll probably wait until the bye week for Hooper to get back. So I think a lot of the guys that are close to coming back won't play next week just to give them another week. So
yeah, if they don't play next week, then they get a free week off. That I forgot about that. Yeah. And it's because of the trade deadline. It'll be interesting to see, especially on that topic, if Njoku is still a Brown.
Yeah. I think after today, I think they will. I think he will because I don't think they can afford to trade one of them.
I agree. Mm-hmm. All right. The Browns are 5-2, and we're just here to say that this podcast is 5-2.
That's true. You can tweet at us or your appreciation for this podcast that we are 5-2. Thank you.
We deserve pay raises by the Browns. Credit. Yes, absolutely. We did all of this. Not the Friday fumble, not the Browns themselves. This podcast, the Josh and Joe podcast. The Josh and Joe podcast. I don't even know how to talk. But seriously, Browns are 5-2. One more week before the bye week, one more week before the trade deadline, and we're talking playoffs.
Yeah.
And trading for players, not giving up players. It's incredible. It really is.
Incredible. Yep.
All right. I'm Josh.
I'm Joe.
Thanks for joining us, guys.
See ya.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dean Archipotis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And, yes, Bigfoot chasers.
Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.